Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
It's just gone 23 after 4, and a reminder that we still have one book to give away, and that book is Casey Chevel's Mom of Boys. The question was, how many sons does Casey have? And I'll give you a clue, it's between 3 and 5. Also just got a wonderful message in from Anton. Anton, I hope you don't mind if I read out the message, and he says, I'm addicted to Chai FM. It gets me into trouble. What to do? Just keep listening to us, Anton. That's the best advice I can give you. And we're still getting other feedback on our AI George newsreader. And I chuckled at this comment from A saying, and I know you weren't happy. You said you don't, wait, I've just lost your message. You said you don't resonate with the flat mechanical voice. Its rendition is 100% perfect, but it lacks any emotion. Keep sending those WhatsApp messages in related to anything. It's 061-895-1019. Now, turning our attention to what I mentioned earlier, global anti-Semitism. In the space of a week, a man in Boulder, Colorado, shouted Free Palestine and threw a Molotov cocktail into a pro-hostage rally, injuring 12 people. Around the same time, 2 Israeli embassy staff were murdered in Washington, and key Jewish sites in Paris were vandalized with green paint. The Combat Anti-Semitism Movement, known as CAM, is warning that these are not isolated outbursts, but they're part of a growing global pattern where online hate is spilling into real-world violence. And sometimes I feel we chat too much about anti-Semitism, but I actually don't think we can chat enough about anti-Semitism. It's at the highest records in decades. One of the interviewees that I had on in recent weeks said it's on the same levels as it was in the 1940s. With me on the line to discuss this further is Lisa Katz, who is the Chief Government Affairs Officer at the Combat Anti-Semitism Movement. Lisa, thanks so much for chatting with us. The Boulder attack was brutal and clearly planned. How worried are you about slogans like Free Palestine becoming covers for terror?
So, hi, thank you for having me on. And I am absolutely concerned. I think that immediately post October 7th, you were hearing these slogans like Free Palestine and Globalize the Intifada. And those were naively being tossed around by college students, certainly here in the US, and others who don't understand the implications. But this year, we are clearly seeing those words be weaponized as a cover for violence and anti-Semitic threats. And we have to draw a clear line. What happened in Boulder, and I was just there, was not a protest. It was a firebombing of elderly Jewish residents who were marching to bring home hostages. And those residents, by the way, have absolutely no impact on the political landscape in the Middle East. It was a terror attack against Jews, plain and simple, and was really the embodiment of the slogan, Globalize the Intifada. And we can't allow violent extremists to use slogans to excuse or justify, or certainly to incentivize hate.
Do you see a link between what happened in Boulder and the embassy killings in Washington, or are we dealing with totally separate threats?
Well, those two terror attacks may not have been connected by a single network in terms of the perpetrators, but they are absolutely part of the same dangerous climate. Both reflect the consequences of unchecked anti-Semitic rhetoric being normalized. And when hate is allowed to fester online or offline, it doesn't stay contained. And whether it's in Boulder, D.C., Paris, or a governor's home in Pennsylvania, it's all part of a larger pattern where Jews are being targeted simply for being Jewish.
Lisa, you mentioned you were just in Boulder. What is the latest coming out of there? How is the community coping?
Well, there is a lot of hate. There's a lot of Jewish insecurity. We did an emergency summit in Boulder with the mayor, Brockett of Boulder, Colorado, and we had legislators from across the region. We had about 40 mayors in attendance, all talking about how best to protect their communities and to make their Jewish residents feel safe. They're definitely still healing, but there was a really uplifting feeling that we're gonna start to attack this anti-Semitism and hopefully make some real.
The Boulder attacker, from what I read, used instructions that he found online. Is enough being done to stop this kind of radicalization at the source?
I don't think even close to enough is being done. You know, social media algorithms on platforms like TikTok are still feeding people into echo chambers. And we've seen time and time again that online radicalization leads to real world violence. And I think it's time for tech companies and social media platforms to treat this like the urgent public safety threat that it is. And they need to ban the Facebook pages of organizations like SJP, the Students for Justice in Palestine, who are espousing intimidation and violence against Jews. They need to not allow live streaming of terror attacks or publish the manifestos of terrorists like they did in DC. And if they can't, I think governments are gonna need to step in, because this isn't an internet or a free speech problem anymore, it's a terror.
Is part of the work that your organization, Combat Anti-Semitism Movement, is doing to talk to those tech companies, or who is actually bringing those tech companies to be accountable?
So groups like ours are doing that, and we have been working with Meta and other platforms to actually shut down the pages of groups like SJP. And then there are moves to, you know, have shareholders really of these companies invested in ensuring that they're not, you know, participating in terrorism in the forms of allowing these things on their platform. So there is a concerted effort to try to address what's going on social media, but it's certainly not.
No, it can't be easy. I mean, as you say, digital hate is exploding, but I often think it's dressed up as activism. How do we counter digital hate without being dismissed as trying to silence political opinion?
So that's a challenge. And certainly in the United States, you know, and in Israel, we value free speech. It's one of the first tenets of our democracy. You know, but no one's saying you can't criticize policy. That's our right. And we love that here, much like we can criticize the policies of any administration, including our own. But I think when criticism becomes demonization of a people, and when it crosses into Holocaust denial or glorifies violence, and that's no longer political debate, that's hate speech. Mm-hmm. And we need to counter it by being clear about where that line is, by educating people, and then by holding platforms accountable without shutting down free expression. So it is a fine line to walk, but it's a very important line to distinguish.
Lisa, one of the things that your organization also looks at is campus anti-Semitism, which is now becoming almost normalized. I was reading also that Jewish students say they self-censor just to get through the day. What kind of support would actually make a difference for them right now?
You know, they do self-censor, and which is terrible. And, you know, I know in my own personal experience, my daughter was targeted because she was the president of a Hillel at her university. And she was targeted simply because she was Jewish. So I think that university leaders 100% need to show moral clarity. And their silence sends a message, and it's the wrong one. Jewish students need their safety and identity matter just as much as anyone else's. They should not be barred from buildings because they're Jewish, or worry about being attacked because they're wearing a star, or because they're attending an event at Hillel, or if swastikas drawn doors. So what I think that means in universities is actually enforcing policies, expelling students who are promulgating hate, banning masked protests on campuses, offering, yes, mental health and legal support, but they wouldn't need that if we made sure their concerns of Jewish students were actually heard and addressed and not brushed off as political disagreements. Yeah. You know, if you think about it, if these actions against Jewish students were occurring against any other marginalized group, for them to stand up and do that for their Jewish students.
That's Lisa Katz, the Chief Government Affairs Officer at Combat Anti-Semitism Movement. And if any of you are interested in what's happening, I would urge you to go to their website. I have signed up to their email, and I get an update once a week on what is happening. And on the one hand, while it is distressing, on the other hand, it can also be quite empowering seeing what Jewish communities are doing around the world. Lisa Katz, thanks so much for joining us here on The Home Run.